We are all quite aware of the growing blatant anti-Semitism that is spreading throughout the Western world. And we ask ourselves at times, what's the reason behind this? What's causing all of this unbelievable anti-Semitism? And the simplest answer may very well be that anti-Semitism is irrational. There's no logic behind it. And to a certain extent, that's very true. But even so, you ask, but what is this cause? What is behind the irrational anti-Semitism that exists and that is growing so blatantly? So I want to share with you an idea that I heard many years ago. I don't remember where I heard it, but I think there is a basis in Chazal for this idea. And to a certain extent, it's connected to this week's parsha, to Parshas Kedoshim. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph asks the following: Mai Har Sinai. What's behind the name of the mountain? What idea is behind the name of the mountain on which the Torah was given? What can we learn from the fact that it's called Har Sinai? And the Gemara says, Sheyarda Sina La'akum Alav. It's because of Har Sinai, of Matan Torah, that hatred descended on the Ummah Sa'ola. Now, what does that Gemara mean? So one explanation is, because the Goyim rejected Torah, Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochol offered Torah to the Goyim and they rejected it. So because they rejected Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has sinna towards the Ummah Sa'olam because of their rejection of Torah. There's a second explanation. And it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hatred towards the Ummah Sa'olam, but rather that the Ummah Sa'olam have hatred towards Am Yisrael. And why do the Ummah Sa'olam hate Am Yisrael? Because they're jealous of Am Yisrael. Because Am Yisrael got the Torah, and they did it. Okay, they rejected it. But now, they're jealous that they got the Torah, and they still got the Torah, and they, the Ummah Sa'olam, don't have it. So that's why there's sinna of the Ummah Sa'olam towards Am Yisrael. But as I said, I once heard a different explanation. This is what I would like to share with you. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodim Hayu Yisrael Ba'avodas Kochavim She'en Ba'mamash. Jews knew all along that there's nothing in Avodah Zarah. It's all nonsense. They didn't believe it in at all. So why were they over the Avodah Zarah? V'lo avdu avodas kochavim ela lahatir lahem arayos b'farhesya. The only reason that they started to worship Avodah Zarah is because they wanted to be able to engage in gili arayos publicly. You see, if you live a life of Torah, you have to live a life of morality, of a life of kedusha. You can't engage in gili arayos, not privately, let alone publicly. But the pagan world, the pagan world was so well known for the lack of sexual morality. Anything could go in the pagan world. And therefore the Jews said, listen, we don't really believe in these pagan gods, but if we adopt pagan beliefs, we can live like a pagan society. They didn't have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, they had a Yetzirah for Gili Arayos. And therefore they adopted, they followed, they claimed, they believed in Avodah Zarah just to allow them to engage in Gili Arayos b'farhesya. The Rambam writes at the end of Mishneh Torah, in some editions it's censored, and we all know that to a certain extent historically as well, that Judaism, that Christianity, and to a certain extent Islam, were really offshoots of Judaism. The Rambam writes that even though Christianity and Islam rejected a life of Torah and mitzvahs, but it was Judaism which influenced them to abandon their pagan beliefs and to adopt a more or less monotheistic view, and other things that came with it, giving up a life in the pagan society. The explanation I once heard was that this is something that bothers the Ummah Sa'olam tremendously. They have a taiva to live a pagan life, a life of total immorality. But Nebuch, centuries after Matan Torah, they adopted a monotheistic belief. So it's not a life of Torah mitzvahs, but to a certain extent, at least publicly, they're supposed to show some sort of morality, b'far hesya. And they resent it. They're angry at it. And who's to blame? The Jews are to blame. Because had the Jews never brought monotheistic belief into this world, they could continue to act, to believe and to act like pagans. And all that pagan society offered them, a free-for-all, all the Gilei Arayos b'far hesya that they wanted and anything else that came along with it. It says, "My Har Sinai sheyador sino l'umo sa'olam." It's because the Jews accepted Torah and accepted a monotheistic belief from Har Sinai. And centuries later, it influenced the Ummah Sa'olam, and they adapted Christianity and later on Islam. Ugh! It's all because of them that we can't live a pagan life. And that's why the Ummah Sa'olam hate us, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, but it all stems from the fact that we brought Kedusha into this world. And Nebuch, they have to, at least outwardly, follow along bits and pieces here and there. This week's Parsha, Parshas Kedoshim. And as Rashi comments, Kedoshim Tiyu have a Prushim in Arayos. That we have to be careful to live a holy life. And one aspect of living a holy life, one very important aspect of living a holy life, is to stay away from anything. It's any kind of Gilei Arayos. To stay far, far away from any type of Iser of Arayos. And that's the way that we can live a holy life. But as opposed to the Ummah Sa'olam, who resented having to live a holy life, We should embrace this amazing gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Baruch Elokeinu shebranu lichvado v'hivdilanu min ha-toim v'nosan lanu toras emes v'chaye olam nata b'socheinu. Giving a life, leading a life of Torah is leading a life of eternity, of eternal values, of closeness with Ribono Shel Olam. Life of ruchnius, of spirituality. And we should be so grateful that so many, that millennia ago, we stood at Har Sinai and we accepted the Torah, Naseh V'Nishma, and all that came with it, so that we could live a holy life and not a pagan life. So what can be done about this deluge of blatant anti-Semitism that's flooding the world? So there's a fascinating medrash that Rashi quotes in Sefer Melachim. It may give us some insight of what can be done. A little bit of background. We know that after Shlomo HaMelech died, the kingdom of Bnei Yisrael was split into two. There was Malchus Yehuda under Shlomo's son Rechavam. And then there was a rebellion in 10 of the Shvatim, created a separate Malchus Yisrael under Yeravam ben Nevat. What happens? Consequence. After Rehoboam dies, his son Aviam takes over, who rules for a short period of time. After Aviam, his son Asa takes over. And Asa is a good king. He rules for 41 years. In the meantime, after Yeravam ben Nevat dies, his son Nadav takes over, rules for a short period of time. Nadav is assassinated by Baasha. Now Baasha is ruling in Malchus Yisrael, and Asa is ruling in Malchus Yehuda. And then the Navi tells us that Baasha laid some sort of siege on Yerushalayim. And Asa is in trouble. What's he going to do? So he sends a huge bribe to the king of Aram, asking for his assistance. And Aram responds and attacks Malchus Yisrael. And Baasha is forced to remove the siege over Yerushalayim to deal with Aram. And from our perspective, Baruch Hashem, there was a Yeshua, right? Salvation. Yerushalayim is no longer under siege. Now, in Divrei Yamim, it says that this siege took place in the 36th year of Asa. But if you follow the chronology in the Nevi'im, Baasha, who's the one who laid the siege, died in the 26th year of Asa. How could it be that he laid siege in the 36th year, 10 years after he died? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that in reality, it was in the 36th year, but not in the 36th year of Asa. It was in the 36th year after Shlomo HaMelech had passed away and the kingdom split. And Rashi tells us that the original plan, Kav Yochel, was that there would be a split in the kingdom between Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael, but for only 36 years. Why 36 years? That is the number of years that Shlomo HaMelech was married to Bas Paro. And Shlomo HaMelech's marriage to Bas Paro was the beginning of the downfall of Shlomo HaMelech. And he was married for 36 years, the punishment was going to be that for 36 years there was going to be a split kingdom. And then the two kingdoms were supposed to reunite. You see, when Baasha laid siege on Yerushalayim, it wasn't a disaster. It was laying the groundwork for a tremendous Yeshua. But Asa made a mistake. He turned to a foreign king instead of turning to Avinu Malkeinu. Had he had greater trust in the Ribono Shel Olam, as Rashi says, things would have been different. The two kingdoms should have been reunited. He should have been ma'orer, a huge tshuva movement in Yerushalayim. The Yeshua would have come, Baasha would have been killed, and the two kingdoms would have become reunited under Asa. But instead, he turned to Melech Aram. You know, sometimes we look to the Umas HaOlam to help us out, and we're so happy with a little Yeshua, a small salvation. It's true, we have to do our shtatlus, but we forget that the big king is the one who can bring about the big salvation. And if we would only realize that, we wouldn't be happy with getting little crumbs. We could get the whole pie. In Parsha Shmos, the Torah tells us that Bnei Yisrael are in Shibud Mitzrayim. Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael min avoda vayizoku. Vatal shavasam el elokim min avoda. Bnei Yisrael cry out to Hashem. Vayishma Elokim es Na'akasam, Vayizkar Elokim es Bisoas Avram es Yitzchak ves Yaakov, Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael Vayeda Elokim. The Ramban says something unbelievable. The Ramban writes, Afal pi shenishlam hazman shenigzar aleihem. The time that had been originally decreed in the Brisbane Absorim to end the Avdus in Mitzrayim and the Golos in Mitzrayim had arrived. Lo hayu ru'uyim ligal, Bnei Yisrael were not at the level of being worthy of Geula. Ele mipnei hatza'aka kibel tfilasim barachamav. But because they cried out with sincerity to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam was such an unbelievable Baal Rachamim, accepted their tfilos, and brought about the Geula, even though they weren't worthy. Who knows? Maybe the time for our Geula has arrived. And maybe like Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, we're not quite worthy of the Geula. But we have the Koach HaDibur, the Koach HaTfila, that if we would just turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and cry out with sincerity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a Baal Rachamim that he would accept our Tfilos Berachamim and bring about the Geula. Not little crumbs, not a small Yeshua, but the ultimate Geula, B'mehera V'Yameinu. Amen.